Is there something other than a new model on the horizon that is particularly, I don't want to say concerning, but that you've been keeping your eye on?
So we have what we call our red team and our blue team. So we're always trying to sort of have, we have a team that's always out trying to beat our detection and then take those learnings and improve. And there's been ways historically of like people could use a paraphraser when detection was first a thing. And so we're always on the lookout, and we have a team that's always running around trying to sort of find different ways to beat us. The blue team has been winning easily in the last year. And so that's promising.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, Navigators, we are back today with John Gilham, the founder of Originality AI. John, thanks for being back with us again today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited for this chat.
Of course, absolutely. So we're going to pick up right where we left off, but particularly I want to talk a little bit about SEO. We talk so much about SEO on this show, and particularly how AI is going to affect SEO. John, how have you seen, with your expertise and your past in search engine optimization and ranking content in particular, how do you see the future of SEO being affected by AI for one, but AI content detection for two? Are the tools going to help the search engines? Are they going to help the content creators the most? How do you see that folding out or shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, this is a question we think about a ton, and we've tried to do a lot of research. You know, there's what Google, like with anything in SEO, there's certainly what Google says, and then there's what they actually do and what do we believe. And those are not always the same thing. And so I'll try and kind of walk through my thought process on it, and then share some of the data that we have.
Absolutely.
So we have kind of Google coming out saying AI bad, and they back that off to say spam content bad, mm-hmm. and it created in any form. They need to thread this really fine line where they are this AI forward company, so that they don't have their kind of Kodak moment where the technology that they invented replaces them. If their search results are filled, and sort of going off on sort of like a sort of thought exercise, is if Google search results are filled with nothing but AI generated content, then why would people go to Google? Why wouldn't they go to the AI that generated the content? Mm-hmm. And so it is this sort of existential threat to Google, but they can't be all sort of like anti AI because they need to be this AI forward company. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of like the really, really challenging position that they're put in, which is why they have so much sort of double talk around the topic of AI generated content in their search results. What we have seen, so we've done a few studies on this. We're looking at the amount of AI content in search results, and it's increasing. It's increasing slowly compared to other places, but it's absolutely increasing. Mm-hmm. It's at about 20% of search results. When we look at sort of this data set of 90,000 results, it's increased from very low, like, you know, 2% pre-2019, because that was kind of the false positive rate, mm-hmm. of our detection tool. And it's now up to like 20%. It's significant. We've seen times where Google has sort of fought back against it. The time in particular, the March 5th update, mm-hmm. where they did a manual action update, when we looked at the sites that they de-indexed, it was very clear that they were going after AI-generated spam. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's like, is AI content okay? Not all AI content's the same. I think it's very clear that Google is waging a massive war against AI-generated spam. Mm-hmm. They hate it. They despise it. They've done levels of manual actions that I've never seen before, with sort of like a PsyOps component to it, where it was on the eve of rolling out of a major update, and they're doing on this sort of like press offensive. Never seen that from them before.
Wow.
And so I think it's very clear that they hate AI-generated spam. Not all AI content is spam. 20% of the search results are AI-generated. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty clear that in 2024, moving to 2025, all spam will be AI-generated. There's no reason, but not all AI-generated content is spam. So that's sort of the landscape that we see, is that Google sort of fighting this battle against their search results being filled with nothing but AI-generated content, but they're ultimately currently losing the war with it increasing up to 20%. And I would expect more significant actions to come out of them to fight back against AI generated content that they don't want in their search results.
For sure. For sure. Two things stick out to me that you said there. One was all spam will be AI generated, but not all AI generated content will be spam. The other is that Google, and I haven't thought about this before, which is surprising because we talk so much about Gemini and there's Google is, you know, Google, they are the big G, but the fact that they are battling and tamping down AI generated content, building a good chunk of their business on Gen AI is interesting to me. And
yep.
You're right. That puts them in a very dangerous Kodak like situation. So that's fascinating. I want to kind of segue when we talk about AI spam versus not AI spam, what's your view on the ethical use of AI and content creation? I can guess because you told me back when you guys were using Jasper in your agency days that you were very transparent about it, which is a huge thing that we talk about on this show. But can you talk a little bit just about your opinion on, I would imagine you believe it can be used ethically, but what do we need to focus on in order to do that?
Yeah, I think there's a question that is really uncertain still. I think society as a whole is going to wrestle with this. Like, are we okay with AI-generated baby formula reviews? I think the world's pretty clear that the answer to that would be a no, that we want to know that's human-generated. Are we okay with a AI-generated summary for the weather? It's like, yeah, it's like probably. Why wouldn't we be? If it's like coming from a trusted source, I think what we want to know, and I think you alluded to this, but if I'm reading something, I want to know if it's human generated or AI generated or if it was involved. So I think the importance of authorship is going to be more and more important moving forward, where if I see that it's from Alex Carlson, then I'm happy and I can know that this was trusted. He's put his name behind it. I'm excited to read it. If it's an anonymous author and I get any sort of spidey sense, even though that you humans can't detect AI generated content, we are biased and think we can. Mm-hmm. If I get any spidey sense that this isn't to be trusted or might be AI generated, then I'm going to be very, very skeptical of content moving forward. So I think authorship and transparency is the sort of the, I think that will become table stakes for content that gets published online.
Sure. Agreed. The next thing that I want to get into here, and it's kind of a two-part question, and it's all about what's coming next for not only just originality.ai, but the technology as a whole with agentic systems and these systems that are just increasing in their performance and their capabilities so rapidly. What developments in AI technology do you at Originality have your eye on, and do you believe could have the biggest impact on content authentication in the near future? I know you talked about, you know, every new model that comes out, you're kind of like, okay, what's going to, you know, are we going to be able to maintain our detection capabilities? Is there something other than a new model on the horizon that is particularly, I don't want to say concerning, but that you've been keeping your eye on?
In that I think we're still monitoring. So we have what we call our red team and our blue team. So we're always trying to sort of have, we have a team that's always out trying to beat our detection and then take those learnings and improve. And there's been ways historically of like people could use a paraphraser when detection was first a thing. And so we're always on the lookout and we have a team that's always running around trying to sort of find different ways to beat us. The blue team has been winning easily in the last year. And so that's promising. And as the rate of AI has been increasing, yet the detection capabilities have been closing. And so that's been surprising to us from kind of 2 years ago, what we would have thought. So I'd say we're always watching. There's nothing on the horizon that is really concerning. Mm-hmm. I would say we're really excited about what some of the features that we have coming and some of the sort of like the integration, the intelligent integration of AI into the sort of job that an editor does. And so an editor gets a piece of content, needs to make sure it's up to certain standards, not AI, not written by AI, not plagiarized, factually accurate, meets readability, meets grammar and spelling, and follows editorial guidelines and is going to be performing well in Google. So that's like the process that an editor needs to do. Mm-hmm. And we think AI is a really useful tool in every step of that process. And so, yeah, we're really excited about kind of what we can be building with some of the advancements that have come from AI. And then also sort of currently nothing on the horizon that is freaking us out about. And again, this could age incredibly poorly. could be tomorrow that a model comes out that is totally undetectable. But right now we don't see it, and we have a reasonable understanding of why it's unlikely that we will see it.
Excellent. Awesome. And then you kind of mentioned that what you guys have some things coming down the pipe that you're very excited about. I think, you know, I talk so much on my show about how whatever role it is in a marketing department, particularly digital marketing department, whether it's copywriter or web developer or editor, like you said, I'm fascinated by the capability of automating those roles so much. Yeah. In their entirety. Can you tell us about any of the features that you have? And I understand if it's a little too early yet, but what do you have coming down the pipe that has you excited for originality.ai to be a tool specifically for those editors? And can you tell us about, some features that might be coming up?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think we're, as far as I know, we're the only tool that is sort of heavily focused on like that role as an editor that gets a piece of text that needs to meet certain standards. It sounds so boring, but like we find it fascinating. And every organization that publishes content on the web needs to facilitate that role. And so like ultimately where what we're working towards is that we want it to be basically irresponsible to be publishing content on the web and having it not been run through originality. Some of the features that are coming that I think will make an editor's job easier and faster and more effective is, so we have AI detection, plagiarism checking, readability level, grammar and spelling. Fact checking has gotten significantly improved. Whether you're pro AI or anti AI content, no one wants to publish factually inaccurate information. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a great feature. And then some of the features we have coming is editorial guidelines compliance. Cool. And so if a company has editorial guidelines, they need to sort of be making sure, is it active tone, passive tone? Is this correct spelling been used for originality.ai is always lowercase.ai. We don't need to make sure that's consistent through the whole document. So that's coming, and so far it's going to be pretty great. And then our sort of like the biggest research effort that we've been having on the go is the ability to create a piece of content that will predictably perform well in Google. And there's the current market for those tools, we think leaves a lot on the table in terms of they take a relatively simplistic approach of like basically keyword stuffing yes. as opposed to and pushing you to create a derivative piece of work as opposed to creating net new information and actually performing well. So, and the correlation of those scores relative to the performance is fairly low. And so we've got something coming that will address that.
The last thing I kind of want to talk a little bit about, John, before we finish up is what advice would you give to marketing teams that are trying to, of course, balance the efficiency of creating AI content at scale, but also with that authenticity? Essentially, what I'm asking is what would you recommend for content marketers in 2025 in this AI landscape?
Yeah, no, great question. I think the message that we're giving to our own team and so for some context, our site's getting over 1 million visitors a month from Google, two-year-old site. And so sort of on this pretty rapid growth. And sort of the message that we always give to the team is, think beyond words. If the only thing that we're bringing to the table is words, then that's going to be, we're up against sort of a wave of this world where the creation of words is being driven to near zero. And so how can we add value to the user beyond just the words on the page? And so whether that's do a lot of work with the creation of free tools, do a lot of work of unique studies. And so kind of pushing the team to think beyond words and how can we sort of fulfill searchers' needs in unique and novel ways that aren't totally repeatable or replaceable by just somebody with an AI overview. And so whether we're competing with the AI overview in those words, or whether we're competing with somebody that used ChatGPT to spin up an article. And so that's sort of the core message of like we need the words, we need the, you know, the great content, but how can we think beyond that and add extra data, extra tools, extra images, extra different kind of media to think beyond words for meeting the searcher's intent.
Absolutely. I love that. I love think beyond words. That navigators, write that one down if you take one thing away from this episode for sure. We talk a lot about, I've talked about something called search everywhere optimization, which is a term that I'm going to give credit to Neil Patel for coining, a podcaster I listen to, a marketer that I listen to. And it's no longer enough to have a blog. You need to be present wherever your potential prospects are going to be. You need to think about different types of media. Like you mentioned, it's not just about the words anymore. I think that is going to wrap up our conversation with John about this content detection and authenticity in the landscape of AI. John, thank you so much for sharing your insights from both sides of this AI content equation as someone who's both generated and is now detecting AI content at scale. John, for our listeners who want to learn more about your work or connect with you, where can they do that?
Yes, so find me at originality.ai. You can email me, John, J-O-N, at originality.ai, or find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thanks again so much, John. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.